internet, and welcome to another episode of All Man Issues. In this episode, episode 48, we finally get a chance to talk about The Last Jedi. It's been out for a little while now, so a lot of people have seen it already. There's a lot of people that seem to like the movie, some people that love the movie, and there's some people that kind of don't like the movie. They don't like it so much that they are starting to petition to have it removed from the canon of all the other films. So, we have some feelings about the film ourselves, and each of us have our own little takes and thoughts and feelings related to the film, and we're going to share those with you. So, without further ado, let's get started, and don't forget, make sure to let the Wookiee win.
Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we're going to talk all about The Last Jedi.
Yes.
We have thoughts, we have feelings.
All the feelings. Spoilers everywhere.
Feelings.
So if you don't feel like getting spoiled on.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that a phrase anybody uses?
I don't know.
We're going to use it now.
Yeah, we're going to make that popular.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't get spoiled on.
Don't get spoiled on.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
So first off, though, we're going to pose a question to ourselves. Jedi or Sith? We'll start with Sam.
All right. Whether I'm a Jedi or a Sith. You know what? I'm going to go Jedi.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go Jedi because the whole Sith order is there can only be two.
You're hedging your bet because there's three of us here.
it's kind of like if there's only two, like, kind of no wonder, like, at the time the Jedi's were winning, but you know,
yeah. How can they ever win? There's only two of them,
but apparently the Jedi's are kind of self-loathing. So, but I still would be a Jedi because I like the robes,
the free flowing.
I actually like the purple lightsaber.
Yeah.
I'm the Mace Windu, purple lightsaber. Oh, that's me.
Gotcha. I dig it. Chris.
I would like to say that I would be a Jedi, but I'm a Sith.
Okay.
Because their outfits are cooler.
Yeah, they do have cooler outfits.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk visually.
Yeah.
You know, the Sith that we've seen. Or the dark side users, in the case of Kylo Ren. I mean,
Who has a more comfortable outfit, though?
Yeah.
I mean, a Jedi can, like, get right out of bed, probably.
The Emperor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He's the Hugh Hefner of a galaxy far, far away.
That is true. No wonder what...
My goal in life, actually, is to just be able to get up, dress in Emperor robes...
And
drink beverages.
If you can do that, you should feel accomplished.
Yeah, you've won life.
Yes, you have.
Telling kids to get out of my yard.
In the future, you know, I figure that our clothing will just get more and more comfortable. It's got to get to that point sometime, right? Where we just have robes.
I think we're gonna hit the whole jumpsuit.
Jumpsuit?
One piece suit.
You think
first,
so?
Yeah.
We're going to go full Eddie Murphy Raw?
Either full Eddie Murphy Raw or Logan's Run.
Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Or like Wally suits.
Yeah.
Like the entire human race is wheeled around in their own...
Utopia.
Clothing. Yeah. That's
right. Utopia.
They can't walk. Their own legs. Walking's overrated.
Yeah, exactly. Put TV and video games in front of me and feed me through an IV, I'm good.
You need to change your clothes, you just press a button.
That's it, you're done.
I think it can't get much better than that.
No.
But, I'm not sure exactly which like, as far as I mean, you're done talking with your...
I am, except for the fact that he said he had a purple lightsaber. When you can build your lightsaber at Disney, I chose purple for mine.
And see, I think I'd be more like Mace Windu, because he kind of flirted with the dark side. So I'm still a good guy, but you know, I got a little bad in me. So
there you go. I'm with you with the cool looking. The dark side looks cooler.
Yeah,
I think across the board, the Jedi for the most part, they kind of all have similar outfits, except for Luke. Luke had a, you know, he kind of went whole dark robes.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of...
I like menacing masks, though.
You like... Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Menacing masks.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Well, Leia had a mask and as a bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. That's a good point.
But she wasn't either at that point.
Yeah.
She was just a bounty hunter.
Yeah. So the lesson here is that Jedis need to get more masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So listen to that, J.J. Abrams, for the Jedi. Third film in this trilogy. We want to see Jedis with masks.
Wait, Star Wars Rebels. What's his name? Has somewhat of a mask. What is his face?
Is it Kyle Katarn? No, that's from Dark Forces.
Yeah.
Are you talking the main dude? Or Ezra? Yeah,
not Ezra.
The guy that changed it? I forget his name.
I forget his name right now, too. Oh, we're
Jaden. No. Caden.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it,
Smith.
Jaden Smith.
That's... You mean After Earth? No. Yeah, he has a... Because he's blind now, but he has that, like...
Yeah, that's true.
The dark side's got a cooler mask, though.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
They have breathing problems, but...
Yeah, they got a cool,
cooler mask.
Cooler mask. So.
All right. I guess, should we get right into it now?
Sure.
All right. Overall, like or dislike, Sam? Or just in between? Yeah, what's your opinion overall?
You know, overall, I liked it. Overall, I thought The Last Jedi was pretty good. You know, I really don't have any major complaints about it, to be honest with you. I mean, there's some things that are like, why'd you do that? But overall, I liked it.
I need to preface this too. We have not talked about this yet. We've saved it for the podcast. Our deeper feelings on this movie.
So we just have this cursory, just barely scraping the surface viewpoint.
This will be the first time we've dug deep.
Yes.
On The Last Jedi.
Yeah, on The Last Jedi. So, I mean, if
feelings and passions may merge.
If I was going by, like, if we were ranking them.
Oh, you're ready to rank already, man. I need years. I need years to digest before I
can... you know, there'll be a certain ranking. I don't know if we're ready for that yet. Maybe I'll wait for you guys to tell me, and then we can... We can rank them, but...
I mean, we can do a cursory ranking. I don't know, it literally will take me probably like 10 rewatches before I'll decide where I want to set it in with the next of the...
Oh, yeah.
If you're talking about ranking it amongst the others.
I'm talking about ranking it amongst the others.
Yeah, that's difficult for me at this point. But I mean, I'll give you one, but I don't know if it'll be truly accurate with where it will...
I don't know if it would stay consistent for me either, because it might, you know, because... I'm still processing.
You're still processing? Okay.
a little bit.
Seriously, yeah.
Okay.
Because, all right. The whole movie hit deep.
It did.
Childhood thoughts and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at right now.
So that's a like.
It's a like.
It's a like. Yeah, it's a like. Okay. If we're doing it, it's in the upper half of light out of the Star Wars in my thing. It's on the upper half.
So like
middle upper. So
gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface this by saying that I feel that the movie has some flaws.
Okay.
And it took me time to come up with my opinion on it.
Okay.
But I love it.
You love it.
Okay.
It's beyond like it's love.
It's love. Wow.
While I was watching it, the first half I did not love it.
Yeah.
But at some point, something like clicked in my brain of nothing that I wanted to happen was going to happen, so I need to probably start to enjoy or at least watch what it is that they're giving me, because this is what is here.
Yeah.
And so once I got past the... I should have known this from the moment that he threw the lightsaber over his shoulder.
Yeah.
But nothing that I expected was going to happen. And yeah. And once I accepted that fact, I enjoyed it. And then as I thought about the movie over and thought about all the things that they were doing and it's, with the themes that were presented, I realized that I actually more or less loved the movie.
And I guess Luke kind of presented that in the trailer.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Isn't going to turn out the way you expected.
There you go.
Exactly.
Couldn't phrase it exactly because I couldn't remember what it was. I just knew it happened in the trailer.
I have studied.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, now we got it. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm probably... Do you have anything else you want to add or just...
Six and eight.
6 and 8.
14. I'm done.
Oh, you can go on. Right. Very good. All right. We got our arithmetic into that. And 6 and 8, 14.
Okay. Homework done. Let's go.
Ready to move on.
I was not expecting
that. I wasn't either. I was like 6 and 8.
See, I brought the Last Jedi in my day to day life. Whatever you expect, I gave you something else.
I know, you just, whoa, you turned, man.
It has changed my life, the Last Jedi.
Oh, man.
My thoughts about the movie, too, are kind of like, when I was watching, I kind of had the same thing. As soon as Luke threw the lightsaber, I mean, I chuckled because I was like, oh. It's not what I expected
to
occur at that moment. I was expecting something much more, you know, I don't know. Something more emotional, maybe. Something, you know, that's my lightsaber. You just, where did you get that? You know, not, you know, he tosses it over his shoulder and walks off. I didn't expect that. Throughout most of the movie, things happened that I didn't really figure were going to happen. I like the movie.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie. I'm still not sure exactly how I feel about it in the Star Wars world because...
Well, I feel that after we talk that you'll have a new appreciation for it.
I'm
really kind of like surprised how... Like, cause, you know, I've talked to other people who've watched it and stuff, and they kind of have the same, like, I'm still trying to process it, and it's like...
Have you ever seen a Star Wars movie like that, where I'm still trying to process?
Right, that's what I'm like.
No.
And episode one, you got out, and you had to try to talk yourself into liking it, and it failed. Episode two, you were like, that movie was terrible, but it had a couple good redeeming qualities, and episode three was okay. And then 4, 5, and 6, we all saw when we were young, and that's a completely different
viewing experience.
Yeah,
you know.
So Force Awakens was the safest of all the Star Wars movies, and if this is the least safe Star Wars movie,
I would definitely say that. I would definitely agree with you there.
I was watching it and thinking to myself, there are people who are going to hate this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there are.
Yeah, the whole internet.
Yeah. I find it amazing that people are like really ponder, like, I don't know how I feel about this.
The thing that gets me with a lot of the hatred, at least the hatred that I've read, is that the people are hating it for totally different reasons than why I have some, you know, I'm not even really saying I have issues with it, just some things that happen that I question and I don't really care for too much, you know. But these people that are going off and hating it, they're hating it for completely different reasons than, like, you know, I'm like, well, you shouldn't have a problem with that part. I don't think.
Well, the thing, this is what's funny to me, is that I've noticed, and this is in no way meant to offend anyone, but I've noticed that it's an age range thing.
Yeah, that could be.
And it seems like older people who are watching this have some things that disappoint them about the movie, but they kind of take it for what it is, and they've lived through the prequels, so they've seen. Whereas younger people are like, this is who watched the prequels when they were little and have the jaded view of the prequels, tend to look at it more like, you've ruined Star Wars forever. Mm. And so I don't know if that's what
I could see that.
Because, I mean, I think maybe...
That's a generality. I'm not saying every young person hates the movie, but... Yeah. But
I think one of the things that I have... I think the only reason why I have some feelings about it...
Your issues?
My issues is because I grew up with the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that happen in those movies are hold near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
You know, for probably no real logical reason besides that I just really love those movies or whatever.
Okay.
Growing up as a kid, you know, whatever. So I think that's probably...
So, and all, what I see perspective the, what I see the complaints on, too, in almost every case... I could point to a time in one of the other six movies where the same thing happened or something similar.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's...
I see people, and I don't want to get ahead of us, but I see people complaining, they didn't give Snoke any kind of backstory, we don't know how he came to power, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and that was the 16 years following Return of the Jedi before they gave Palpatine a name.
Yeah, right. Before we actually really even seen him.
I mean, you had books and stuff that were approved by Lucasfilm or whatever that gave some backstory in there, but for the most part, it wasn't until the prequels that you had a fully fleshed out Darth Sidious story.
Right.
And at least Snoke had a name. We got more information about him.
Yeah, the Emperor was just the Emperor. That's all you needed to say.
Yeah.
The Emperor.
In charge of the Empire.
That's it.
And it was evil because we said so, and they blow up planets.
Yeah,
right. And they blew up planets, so yeah. So we need to go get into some of your issues.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Let's start towards the beginning.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what happens, and then we'll talk about maybe internet issues and see if any of us have any issues.
All right.
So the internet seems to have an issue that humor... Which it opens on a joke. It opens with Poe Dameron.
Yeah. I didn't really have... I mean, I didn't have an issue with that.
I had no problem with it.
I mean, I would say this about the movie as a whole. Much funnier than any of the other Star Wars movies, for sure. The one thing that I think is kind of, you know... I forget the people that did the Lego movie that were doing the Han Solo solo movie.
Miller and Lord.
Yeah. They kind of got kicked off of the solo movie because they were making it too funny.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, man, was that going to be like a straight-up comedy?
That's what I'm told. I'm told, as if I have inside sources.
You heard it here first!
Yeah, that's what I heard, that it was becoming like an improv comedy.
I mean, I could see that work with Han Solo, though.
That kind of worked with Han Solo. I mean, he's a scoundrel.
Yeah.
So, and it does start with a your mom joke, kind of. Because after that whole, I have a message for Hux.
It's
about his mom. Tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look this up because I at no point remembered anyone saying it. The character that says, "I have a bad feeling about this," is BB-8 through blips and chirps to Poe in that scene.
Oh, really?
And then he says, "Only positive beeps." That was no character actually says the words. But Rian Johnson has admitted that that was where someone says it. Since someone says it in every Star Wars movie, it was BB-8 in this one.
I like that. Okay.
Whatever. if it would have been like written down, like if it would have came on it like post screen, then I would have been like, oh, okay. But
yeah,
I could go beep beep beep. He could be going beep 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 any place else, and you could say, oh yeah, he said.
Yeah, but Poe responded to it. There was at least it makes sense in the.
I probably would not, even on a second viewing. I don't think I would have picked that.
No.
Well, I wouldn't have known. I looked up to see where it was and. Apparently someone had asked Rian Johnson, he wouldn't say it first. He just said, it's in there, you just have to listen for it. And then finally, someone in an interview admitted that's the character that says it.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so... Yeah, the... I keep wanting to say Rebels, but it's the Resistance.
The Resistance.
They were, basically escaping their planet.
Mm-hmm.
That opening sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're always escaping.
Yeah, on the run.
No, it's on the run.
That was kind of like what the whole movie was. Like, it was just one big, long, drawn-out space run.
It was the episode from Battlestar Galactica. where the Cylons wake him up every half hour.
Yeah, I heard somebody else say that. Yeah,
it was very much like that, where they jump and then the Cylons come out, attack, and then 33 minutes later they do it again. But whatever.
Or the OJ chase.
Yeah. Nah, they should have had. They should have all been escaping in like flying white Broncos. what else is going on in that scene? We got.
We gotta stay on target.
We got Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren
comes out and can't shoot
Leia,
yeah,
his
mom. Yeah.
So. He's a mama's boy.
Yeah. What about but the two TIE fighters that came up
on They do. Line?
They
yeah,
do.
And
they
blast the Resistance ship. And
I don't have a problem that a lot of people, this is where the internet had a lot of problem with Leia's spacewalk. I don't have a problem with it happening, because people can survive in space for minutes without the Force.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. I thought it looked kind of.
It looked
a little weird.
Yes. That's the only. Yeah. That's the only like.
I saw someone say that it was actually accurate to the way clothing would react without gravity, but nonetheless, it something about that effect looked odd.
Yeah, it almost looked like she was more or less cut out, and then they kind of just did a.
It was
across the screen type thing.
I call it the Peter Pan effect.
Okay. I can see it looked like the Peter Pan effect,
which. I mean, I was like, I don't like how they CGI'd that, but
I don't have any fundamental issues with
that happening. In fact, I really thought it was kind of cool.
I did too.
Got to see Leia
use the Force.
Yeah, yeah.
Use the Force more than she had in the
rather than just some
feelings
and sensing Luke talking to her from miles away.
Exactly. Right. At first, I thought I was like, oh my god, that's how she goes out.
I was like,
oh man.
I know. I was like. Well, that's one way of getting around this, I guess.
Exactly. Because I had a, like,
but I was like,
I did like a double take when I.
But
started
I heard she had a big role in this, you know. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
That scene killed Admiral Akbar.
Yes, I know, right?
Yeah.
And if I have, I have a few complaints about the movie. But one of them is
Akbar.
Why not have Akbar play the role that General Hondo, is that the name? Laura Dern's character?
Mm.
Why not have him be the one in charge?
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that it might be less likely that Poe would not trust Admiral Akbar.
That's true. That's true.
Conflict.
Yeah.
But anyway. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
I was hoping that wasn't him, but I was like, yeah, that was him.
Yeah, because then they say it afterwards. Yeah. It's like, no! It's not Admiral Akbar. It's a trap!
I was like, not that dude. I was like...
Yeah.
Like, his cousin died in Rogue One, and now him?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like, what the crap?
So, then they hatch a plan, right?
Yeah.
At that point?
Yeah.
You know, because Finn tries to escape.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't talk about the bombing either. That seems to be another thing that people have trouble with. Why would they have bombs in space?
Yeah, I actually, after watching the movie, I kind of thought about it. That's one of the things that I kind of thought about. I'm like, they wouldn't fall down. They would just...
But they would. There is artificial gravity.
That's inside,
the lady is laying on a thing. There's artificial gravity, and they've proven that they have things that allow ships to pass through.
And one of the other things I was thinking too is they technically maybe they were still in orbit around the planet.
Yeah.
So I mean.
But beyond that, are we really going to question physics in Star Wars?
No.
Because you can go back to The Force Awakens and be like, how long does it take light to reach a planet, and why can you see Starkiller's base from Takodana? The thing firing.
Yeah.
It just so happens to. Because that would take years for the light to reach it. So, you know, we let some things go.
You mean people had a problem with that scene of the bombs falling down?
They had a problem because they don't feel it makes sense to have bombs that use gravity in a space battle.
Oh, good lord, come on, people.
It seems a little weird to me, because we've never seen anything like that before, but I didn't have a huge problem with it, because it's the same thing like you're saying. You gotta suspend your
belief. Oh, they could have been just...
Because even some of the turns that, like, Poe took in the X-Wing, I'm gonna, you know, even in space, I don't think you can make little sharp turns like that, and, you know, the way he's kind of flying around.
He's the best pilot in the galaxy. You don't question him.
That's true. Right. This is true.
My gosh.
That's the one thing we should learn from the movie.
Right.
Is never question.
Never question
Poe Dameron.
unless you're Leia.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're Leia, then you, hey, you know, you get... Carte Blanche.
So, yeah, there was some good humor.
Yeah.
Rose.
Yeah, I really like the Rose
character. I like the Rose character. Yeah. Now, that being said, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
I did not care for the Casino Planet story.
I didn't either.
No.
And actually, that's one of the things that I kind of just... It just seemed like... the MacGuffin of the story, if you will, where they just had to have some sort of reason to go off the ship,
mm-hmm.
to go somewhere to get the thing, or the person, or whatever, to do this thing, so they would just kind of move the story forward a little bit, I didn't care for the idea that they had to go get a, you know, decryptor guy. From a casino.
I didn't have a problem with that. I had a problem with the dog horses. Freeing the dog horses and that being their moment of, hey, we're being resistant and we're fighting against tyranny is to free the giant dog horses.
Yeah, because I thought when they released them, I'm like, well, we'll just round them back.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, You realize they're just going.
It's probably not even their native planet,
right? Exactly.
Are they going to even be able to survive out here?
Yeah. may have just sentenced them to death.
Yeah,
like, they really didn't do anything. They're just going to pick them back up again.
Exactly. It's not like they're going to ship. Yeah, I don't know. I like some of the things that were kind of talked about on the Casino planet, like with Benicio del Toro's character.
I love Benicio del Toro's character.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought he played that character well.
The
weird ticks and stutters. Yeah,
I thought that was going to get annoying to me, but I found that it wasn't annoying at all, and I wanted to hear him talk more like that, actually.
Again, this is getting ahead of myself, but I feel the need to make this point now. One of the themes of this movie is that failure is the best teacher. This is one of the things that I have the hardest time getting past, is I understand that all of this was designed to be a failure, that they were supposed to go and fail as part of the story. But what it amounts to is if they do not go there, if they do not park illegally on a beach, if they reach the actual codebreaker and they get into the ship, the resistance... The plan works. There is no final fight on... Is it Dakar?
Crate. Yeah.
On Crate. There is no final fight on Crate. Luke Skywalker doesn't die. So my childhood hero was killed by a parking violation.
Which, yeah. That whole... Yeah. Like if you're supposed to be sneaking onto a planet... Why are you going to park in the middle on the beach where people can see from their balcony?
And particularly when somebody's told you not to park there.
Yeah, told you not to park there. Right, I told him not to park there. I'm like,
that was Joseph Gordon-Levitt, by the way.
Yeah, right. But that's funny because
it's like you do have you guys been in the rebellion for a while. At least her. I'm like,
well, and like with Finn, you know, he's. You think he's got the experience working with the First Order and working with the Resistance to some. So you figure he's a little bit seasoned, right? You'd think he'd be, and I don't know.
Yeah,
because that was one. Because I really liked Finn in Force Awakens. I thought he was awesome in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, I was just like, well, I don't think they really use him to the best of his ability. It's just kind of.
I didn't dislike him. I disliked.
Yeah. It's not that I disliked the plot. Him either. I just I.
But on Crate, when he's I don't want to. I mean, again, getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
when he's doing, when he's preparing to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the first time I was able to look and be like, oh man, I don't want him to die. I mean, and it was like it was the first time where I was like, well, I guess I do care about these new characters.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, I was actually. Because I thought he was going to, you know, I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves, like you're saying. I thought he was going to die. Because, you know, they killed off all the. At that point, there was a lot of other characters that had gotten killed off that had been planning on them killing off. And I'm like, man, if they get rid of Finn like that, I'm like, yeah, it's a heroic sacrifice and everything, but I don't want him to see it go that way either. So I was glad that he didn't get offed.
Right.
Yeah, but. I guess back to the casino planet. The one thing that I did like was where Benicio del Toro was kind of showing him, and I believe it was on the casino planet, maybe it was on the.
It was on the ship. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, when he showed the different.
It was on that stolen ship.
The
it was
hollow
on.
Images of the different ships that all those weapons dealers sold, and there's an X-wing on there.
Oh yeah.
So just kind of talking about like how. You know, in war, there's multiple sides to it, and there's the people that are going to sell the weapons.
No, they're going to just care about the profit.
Exactly. Exactly. Not so much about
the Howard Starks of the world.
Yes.
So I don't know. And then that look to me was like, what were you really trying to prove? Because arms dealers don't care which side.
Well, that's exactly what I think they were saying.
And it was actually foreshadowing for Benicio del Toro's. Turn because he's a great actor, and then he gives up the information and walks off with a pile of money.
Right.
Yeah. That is true too. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, and I think that's like an element in Star Wars. I guess I would have never really thought of yet.
No.
You know, like I don't think I would have previous to that.
Star Wars, there's good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, and the good guys would make all the X-Men ships or whatever,
and the bad guys would make all the Death Stars.
Yeah.
And whatnot, but you don't think about that. I think that this movie, more so than the others, showed a lot more of not black and white, just gray, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kylo having redeeming qualities. Rey, well, let's talk about Rey. Because Rey jumping to the dark side, not even hesitating.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, I don't know how you pronounce it, is it Ahch-To?
Oh, the island planet.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I like the island planet for the most part. I mean, it's basically Luke's Dagobah.
Yeah.
You know, essentially.
It's supposed to be, you know, the first Jedi Council.
Jedi Temple, and then in addition to that, it's so far away and remote, and nobody goes there for anything. And
yeah.
I enjoyed the sequences there so much so that whenever other sequences were taking place, I was looking forward to them to end so I could go back.
I'm there with you with that too, because I wanted to see more of what I wanted to see, like more train montages, I guess. I wanted to see Luke interacting with Rey.
What you wanted.
Yeah.
And they didn't give you what you wanted.
No.
They did. That's this movie.
The one thing that they could have, you know, I could have done without is Luke drinking the milk.
The blue milk.
I at first thought that is the worst thing I've ever seen in a Star Wars film.
It is the worst.
However, having rewatched that scene on the internet. It is freaking hilarious. Because he's trying to be off-putting. And he has to survive somehow. And we know he likes blue milk, so why not this milk too? So he goes over and he gets the milk. And it wasn't it was the face he made after the drink. Where
he's eating some in his beard.
Yeah, he's like...
It wasn't even him. It was like that creature was just like... Hello. Like the way it was positioned.
My one friend and I were talking.
Ready to be milked.
My one friend were talking about it was like, that's not milk.
Right. I'm just like,
that creature has two of those.
And we're like they're probably completely sentient and like can talk to each other. Like, dude, every day I sit here and this guy comes down.
And I'm just like, look, I'm like, the way that creature was sitting, I was like, that is the most, because it's like, take it. There you go. He goes to the lower one too. Like the lowest one. I was like, dude, you couldn't just go up to the higher one.
The creature even looks at Rey for a moment.
It's like, yeah.
I've got. It's probably like, You getting in on this too?
Right.
I've got another one of these.
And I was like, hey, you know, I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, is this one of those Disney hidden things where you like, you
wasn't very hidden.
Right. It was kind of like Disney just don't care now. They're like, we own everything.
Yeah. So I have a bigger problem with him fishing with a 50 foot long spear.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed a bit, once you find out he's cut off from the forest, how do you lift that thing and then use it effectively?
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot. He's been a lot of training, and that's what he had to do. So you build your muscles and everything.
At that point, we didn't know he was cut off.
No, that's why I didn't bother you much when I was watching it. But then later on,
I didn't even think I kind of want to rewatch it. I want to see how.
I didn't even think he was using the force in the first. But I just thought, hey, it's just one of those things where you just keep doing it and keep doing it. So he got his muscle relaxed and just started back and forth. That's what I thought it was.
Well, I didn't mind the going back and forth. It's the lifting it to use it as a weapon against a fish way down there. I mean, I've skimmed leaves from a pool with a 12-foot pole.
Right.
It gets a little bit weird after a while. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I don't know.
He senses the ripples in the water.
So what about the elephant in the room, the porgs? Did you guys have issues with the porgs?
I'm going to have an issue with you saying the elf in the room.
Elf.
We got to mix it up the porgs here. I don't know what the heck. Elf on a shelf in the room.
What about the elf on a shelf in the room?
Yeah, what about
with in a china shop?
What do you have?
Oh, my.
Yes.
I didn't mind the porgs at all. And then I thought I was going to dislike them at first.
Yeah.
But I actually had zero problems with them. And I found out that the reason that they included them in there is because there's so many actual birds on that island in real life that they were going to have to take them out computer anyway. So they.
So you just kind of replaced them with porgs. That's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Huh. No, I like
that scene with Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. The porg just sitting there looking at him, lip quivering.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. No, I like the porgs actually. I thought they're a nice addition because let's face it, the Star Wars almost always has like a weird little.
First, it was the Ewoks.
Yeah, and you know, I know people have their issues with the Ewoks.
Oh, the Ewoks are awesome.
I'll take Ewoks over Jar Jar, Binks, and the Gungans any day.
The Ewoks were useful. Let's be honest. They were by far the most useful
creatures. They got all made for TV movies.
Yeah. out of all the throwaway creatures.
I don't want to go into...
hating Ewoks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just... Okay, I'm going to say this. Because I just rewatched Return of the Jedi. Why did they have all these traps just conveniently set up that were perfect for whatever it was walking past? We didn't see any big giant creatures there, right?
Yeah, but we don't know how long the stormtroopers were there. So maybe they were eating stormtroopers.
I mean, that's possible, I guess.
They were cannibals.
They were scouting stormtroopers. That station was already there. It was already built.
I know, but they had it like all planned out. Like they were just waiting for someone to show up to attack because they had the big logs that came crashing down perfectly for. They had things set up. Like it takes time to cut down trees and set up lumber, and they had all those trees logs going down there to mess up the ATSDs.
Like, well, we was going to build this to refortify our forts, but hey, we need to take that. We'll help you guys because you have a golden god.
Saying it wasn't close to their village, that close. I mean, there was a lot of manpower in setting those traps, and they didn't have a ton of time between when the fleet arrived. So, I'm just saying,
there's a lot of preparation.
Some weird stuff going on there. I don't want to slam on Return of the Jedi that much.
Yeah.
That's why I can't fault The Last Jedi as much. I watched those Ewok scenes and I can't wait to get back to the throne room. So I'm watching the casino planet and I can't get back to see what's going on with Rey.
Yeah. I think that's really kind of... I think it's all through the lens that we watch these movies with. Because if you watch... Because now if you rewatch even the original trilogy, I think, you can find faults in them left and right, I think.
Yeah.
As a kid, you don't look for those things. You just enjoy what you're watching for the most part.
And I think that's I think that brings up a good point as far as people on the internet like hating this movie, because I think right now everyone, those people, I think the culture now is look at everything kind of negatively instead of just going just to watch the movie. I think people are keep looking to see what's the hidden meaning about this, and they, after watching it, they'll instantly go find all the secret stuff instead of just sitting down and just processing the movie first. And I think that's where the hatred comes in, because they're just like trying to find what, that doesn't make sense, there's no meaning to that. It's like, dude, sometimes you just need to just enjoy the movie and go on.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me is that, like, I'll watch a preview for a movie and be like, you know, I don't think this movie is something that I want to watch. And then you know what I do? I don't watch it.
Yeah.
So therefore, there are very few things that I watch anymore that I absolutely despise, because I have a good idea of what it's like before I watch it, and I'm not a masochist that way. Yeah. I don't want to sit through something I hate just so I can complain about it later. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
So when Luke does finally agree to train.
Oh yeah.
And he tells her to reach up for the Force.
Oh yes,
that was hilarious.
Absolutely that hilarious. I can feel it. Yeah. Is that the Force?
Yeah.
And I just like the fact that, you know, if you look at all the other Jedi Masters in training, like, they weren't as cynical as Luke. And even Yoda, I mean, Yoda would joke, but, you know, it was just funny to Yoda.
Yeah.
But with Luke, he was like, are you serious? Why are you being so stupid?
Yeah. You went straight to the dark side. You didn't even hesitate.
Which, that, to me, like, I think that showed that Rey just didn't have any fear. She's just like, well, let's face it. And I think that was, like, the first time that she ever truly face something, because I think for a long time she never came to the fact that possibly her parents just left her.
Yeah,
I think she.
It sounds like that was something that
she just
knew but didn't want to admit.
So,
Speaking of that, and information that way, so Rey and Kylo Ren have that Force connection thing.
Yes.
What were your thoughts? I thought it was kind of cool, and in hindsight, him saying to her, "You can't be doing this. The you know, the Force of this would kill you."
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
It's kind of like one of those things, you know, like in a Star Trek movie where they invent something in the first part of the episode, and then it's used later on in the episode.
But kind of,
you know,
this was used in Dark Empire way back in like 1995. Force projections.
Was it?
Yeah.
See, I don't really.
He talked to Luke. Talked to, I think, Leia and Han. Through force projections in that comic book, and it was mentioned in the expanded universe a lot. So now it's just a matter of them deciding what they're keeping and what they're not.
Yeah.
So,
which, to be honest with you, I'm kind of saddened that they didn't use Dark Empire storyline, at least the first one.
There's a lot of
good
stories in the whole.
They brought back Bubba Fett in that and everything.
And that's the thing too. I think of the Dark Empire storyline. I remember reading that whole thing and thinking, man, this feels like Star Wars. I mean, it's really, you know, it's got, didn't seem like it missed.
And I like the Timothy Zahn Heir to the Empire books. Yeah.
I know a lot of people like those. I to be honest with you, I've never read those.
They were all right. I mean, they were good. I don't even remember half of them. But they did have Grand Admiral Thrawn, who was a cool enough character that they brought back for Rebels. But anyway, so, by the way, funniest thing to me is reading it. Someone saying, you know, Kylo Ren totally planned on being shirtless for that one.
Right.
Oh, Ray, I didn't see you there. Yeah. I was just over here working out.
Yeah.
You know?
I just have to take off my shirt and swing.
Yeah.
Right, I was just like...
Yeah.
Look at my traps.
Yeah. What about him destroying his helmet? What do you guys think about that?
I hope he brings it back.
I do too. I kind of... it almost seems like he's not going to, though.
No.
Just because of the way that...
I'm going to tell you a reason why I think they will, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to bring it back.
Because I like...
I'm going to tell you why, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Force Awakens, Rey has a vision.
All
right. Remember her vision when she picks up the lightsaber, or she's getting close to the lightsaber? It shows her Cloud City. It shows her various places. It shows her... it shows Luke, right? Coming back and sitting down with the Temple's Fallen. You see in there a scene with the Knights of Ren in the rain. Kylo Ren is fully made up as Kylo Ren and has his red lightsaber. Kylo Ren in Last Jedi, the night that he took down the temple,
he didn't have a red lightsaber.
He had a blue lightsaber, and he wasn't dressed up like Kylo Ren. He hadn't. We assume that the students he took with him became the Knights of Ren. So that might be a future vision.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be cool if that shows up in Episode 9.
That would be cool, because that would connect them together better for sure.
And it wasn't raining the night he destroyed the temple.
That's true too.
So,
because I mean, when during that, how as that scene plays out in Force Awakens, I think you're given the impression
that's the night that it happened.
Yeah.
But you also notice him stabbing someone who's wearing a mask as well. It looked as if he was stabbing one of the Knights of Ren through the back. It looked almost samurai-ish.
See, that part we'll have to watch again. I remember it. I don't.
We'll look it up later. I'll show you the. Yeah, I'm sure I can just look up Rey's vision.
I can't remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's. You might have heard it here first, because I haven't seen anyone mention this on the internet. I've seen a couple people complain that it wasn't raining, but they haven't given any explanation.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anyone mention the fact about the red lightsaber. It wasn't like he buried him in the.
Yeah.
In the hut, and then was like, I need to go build a lightsaber.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah. Quick, I'm Kylo Ren now.
Yeah, did you hear how the Sith create their lightsabers? It's like they pull the crystals from the blood of the Jedis that they've killed to make the kyber crystals red.
Is that new lore or old lore?
I don't know if it's new or old. I just read that somewhere online. Mm. I forget what site it was on, but I think it was a pretty credible site. They were talking about it. I thought that was... I had never heard that before.
So Kylo having a blue lightsaber that I assume was...
Was Luke's?
Was Luke's old one. Gives new meaning to in The Force Awakens when he's like, that's not yours. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Finn,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I do kind of like how they kind of played that scene three different ways.
Yes.
You know, gave it like three different perspectives, if you will.
Yeah.
And then finally kind of explain what really happened.
Because Luke's in the scene was green.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
That was his Return of the Jedi one.
Yeah.
So yeah, Luke's was green, Kylo's was blue. So, I don't know where we're going with that, but yeah, I like the three. I liked Luke not being entirely forthcoming at first, and then finally being. Yeah, I mean, for an instant.
Yeah, and then. Yeah.
A lot of people have problem with that decision.
Yeah. I can see. I had problems with it when they were first kind of saying it, until the third. Perspective came out where Luke was kind of talking about it. It's definitely not the most heroic thing that we see our favorite hero do, you know, for sure. You know, we don't want to think of our hero in that way.
Right.
But, I mean, it works for the story, I think. And it kind of, you know...
I think it comes to the point of the whole... Like, and other classic things, like when you're dealing with, would you kill baby Hitler, or would you stop the Antichrist if he was a baby, if you knew exactly how it was going to turn out? Would you do it? Would you would you just kill a child?
The Antichrist, I would shower with gifts and hope that I'd be taken care of for a few years.
But at the point, because you know the evil that's coming, and if you look at like Luke's background and stuff, he's like, I seen how this ends. You know, I seen how,
yeah,
like my father, this happened to my father. You know, and I don't want him to go down that path, but I can't save him.
Yeah, he doesn't have, you know, secret twin kids to come back and turn his life around.
Right. So, yeah. So.
A lot of times, as I'm sitting there, I was thinking, is it what I, like I said before, is it what I wanted? No, but I can accept the fact that it's there. I don't want, I mean, let's be honest, Return of the Jedi ends with a, you know, and they lived happily ever after type of ending, celebrations across the galaxy. Force Awakens begins, and Han and Leia are separated,
mm-hmm,
if they were ever actually married. You know, they've got a rotten kid. Luke's gone away.
Right.
None of the characters are happy.
Yeah.
And I also think about it like, Luke was always flawed. We always said, like, Luke, Skywalkers are whiny, and Luke always whined and everything.
Yeah. Well, until Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
They showed the whiny up until there was that pause for however long it was between Empire and Return of the Jedi, and then he came back all wise and black-robed and always making strange hand symbols and...
Well, he was still whiny too, even when he was getting shocked by.
Well, I mean, electrocution Yoda can bring out the whine in anyone.
He was whiny with Yoda. He was whiny with Obi-Wan. He was still kind of whiny.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, because
I mean, I'm not gonna. He was definitely whiny in Empire, and definitely in.
He was whinier before.
Yeah,
he was. I think this was the best Mark Hamill performance that, with exception of the animated Joker that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was good in it.
I enjoyed.
I wanted to see more of him in the movie.
Yeah, I thought Luke Skywalker's character came full circle, even if he didn't die, even if he stayed alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I thought his character came full circle because it was like he was still feeling sorry, but then, you know, he got a pep talk from our favorite Jedi Master, and then he's like, I'm just going to have to do what I have to do. And
How about, by the way, R2-D2 being the one to convince him by showing the video?
Yeah,
I liked that a lot. That was
pretty good.
And I liked his, that's not fair.
Yeah. Like, dude, come on.
I wanted, you know, and to be honest with you, I guess they can only do so much in the movie, but I wanted to see more interactions between, like, Luke and Chewie. And Chewie, I feel like they almost didn't really have in the movie very much at all.
The side characters have become afterthoughts, and I think it was by design. I think they designed this to, and this is what is really, you know, if we talk about the future later, will come up. They, you know, it. The first one was clearly a Han Solo movie. The second one seems like it was about Luke Skywalker. The third one was probably going to be a Leia movie, and now we don't have a Leia.
Yeah.
So,
it's gonna be Chewie now.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, but I guess we'll get to that.
What is you guys? Do you guys have a favorite scene?
Oh gosh, yes. Well, I have three. Three favorite scenes.
Three favorites? I can't have three favorites.
I do. I have three things that two of them are things that I think are two of the coolest things I've ever seen in a Star Wars film. And one of them is just for sentimental purposes.
Gosh. The one scene that really stands out in my mind that I thought was pretty cool, although the idea that she had to do it this way, and maybe we'll get into that too. But the scene where they take the Resistance
hyperspace
and go through
the dreadnought.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's one of my three.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is old school Yoda showing up.
Return of the Jedi. Not one of my three, though. I did love that.
That to me was, because when he showed up, I thought, I was like, oh, they're going to do, you know, Phantom Menace or CGI Yoda. I was like, oh, it's Return of the Jedi Yoda.
It is old it is Yoda.
Old school Yoda. And I just love that
scene. It is a puppet ghost. I am like, so happy.
Yeah. I was like, that is awesome, because, you know, it paid tribute to Jedi, and, you know, Frank Oz got to reprise his role as Yoda. Yeah. And I just love the interaction between him and
Mark Skywalker.
I miss you, young Skywalker.
Missed you? I have you. Yeah.
He was just so happy. He was just like, he was a crazy Yoda.
So the great thing that he said about there, because, you know, Luke, well, for lack of a better word, trolled on Rey while he was doing. But Master Yoda, the master troll, knows full well Rey has stolen the books out of the tree and in the Millennium Falcon. Yes. And he's like, oh, psh, lightning, fire, you know. And he's like, there's nothing in that tree that the girl doesn't already possess. And you think he's talking about knowledge in general, but it's...
Yeah. Right, and that's what I loved about him. And it just sat there.
Page turners, they were not.
Yes. And I just liked the interaction where Luke was like, you know, Yoda was just talking to him like, dude, you know, we learn from our mistakes.
And that, I think, is the main theme. There's a couple main themes, but one of the main themes is that failure is the best teacher, and that was why every single person failed the entire movie with everything they did pretty much until the end. The other one being this might be the most meta thing that's ever been in a Star Wars movie, but when they're talking about you can't raising up the legends weren't the legends that you think you are, and that you have to kill the past, or you know, you have to we are what they outgrow. And so, in essence, that's kind of what Rian Johnson just did. He completely deconstructed Star Wars in a story, and then, you know, I really liked it. So I'm sorry.
I don't know where we were going from there.
We were talking about our favorite scenes.
Oh,
and we're kind of at the part right here where I can do you want to pause it?
Yeah, it does. I agree with you. I think it looks like he kind of, it, in fact, I think he took a lot of things that seemed to be put in place with The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
kind of almost, you know, well, took them away.
Let's talk those things first, because
you've
got Luke not being the Luke you expect.
Yes, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
You've got no backstory for Snoke and the Snoke death scene.
Yes.
You've got Rey.
Rey's origin.
Origin.
Which they kind of teased. And then,
they teased that she was someone special.
Yeah.
Or of special lineage, and clearly, at least in Rian Johnson's mind, she's not, though he has skirted around the issue when asked. Someone asked him in an interview, you know, is this actually the truth, or was Kylo lying to her to try to get her on his side? And he only answered it with, I can say that at the time of him saying that, Kylo believes what he is saying to her. He's not trying to do it as a trick, but he never went out and said no. Kylo saw the actual, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is wiggle room in there for JJ, if he wants to get around that somehow. But
I hope, in my opinion, I hope he doesn't. I hope that is actually the case.
Yeah, I do and I don't. And only because having her parents not be important, which, it's not whatever. I just don't understand why you heard Ben Kenobi's voice speak to her.
Yeah.
And say her name. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe because...
Why would the lightsaber call out to her?
As opposed to nobody else.
As opposed to Maz, who's also force sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I think that maybe there's just a difference between being force sensitive and being someone who has more potential of being a Jedi or using the force that way.
I mean, I'm not going to argue this point because it's not a big deal to me. It's not. But I wanted something that I didn't know what it was going to be because that would have made sense because she couldn't have been Han Solo and Leia's kid because, you know, they would have remembered that she existed. But I don't understand why when Maz says, "Who's the girl?" they cut away. They create the mystery. But again, deconstructing down to its base, giving you the exact opposite of what you expect or want.
And I think that's what made people kind of angry. That was one of the reasons. It was like, I think what they were trying to say is, you don't have to come from a lineage of legends. You could be a nobody.
Because I thought about that as well too.
They're crowdsourcing the force right now.
Yeah.
Crowdforcing.
Because I like that perspective that you don't have to have this lineage to be somebody special or what have you. But the fact that they teased it and
which I understand.
That's the part and within the confines of the story, like I have a feeling that just because a different director kind of took over, I think that's almost why so many things were handled differently. Because he's like,
well, but here's the thing: is we can say that, but J.J. Abrams was executive producer and had final script say.
Yeah.
So,
but it also makes me wonder if that's why Disney said, "Okay, we want J.J. back for."
But they didn't.
The third final installment.
They asked Ryan first, and he said no.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. No. But he was too tired. I think he was just kind of worn out. And was like, I need, you know, some time or whatever. And then, so it was at that point that they asked J.J. Abrams to do it, and he said yes.
Maybe, I think deep down, we want our heroes to have, at some point, got busy!
Right? You don't know what happened between him and that seizure act.
That's true. I know.
I mean,
this is just like,
you're like, that's my mom. That was that is a movie I can stand by. It just seems like
I've been milking her ever since. Right?
That's probably one of the issues that I kind of do have with the movie, though, is them just kind of the reveal. Oh, there is no reveal. She doesn't have any kind of
connection. It was a non-issue for me. It wasn't what I wanted. That's what this movie did, though. I don't think until I see the last movie I fully believe
that's true. I agree with you there too, because.
Because a lot of these things we're watching out of context of a full trilogy.
This is very true.
I've heard tell that there were a lot of fans who hated The Empire Strikes Back when it came out. Because it ended on a downer. Yeah. It, you know, Han's frozen. Luke's got his hand cut off.
Yeah.
You know, Darth Vader's his father. That's none of the things that they wanted there either. But regardless.
Yeah, for me, I thought it was just brilliant. I was like, good. They're going in a different direction.
Let's talk about one of my three favorite scenes.
Okay.
The throne room scene.
Okay.
Between from the time that Snoke is killed and Rey and Kylo Ren fight off the Praetorian Guard.
Yes, yeah.
That was visually beautiful.
That is an awesome sequence. For sure.
And we finally get to see what the Red Guards do.
Yes.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that moment.
They were a little slow to react, though. You know, they could have maybe.
Well, I don't think they were paying attention. No one was paying attention. Everyone's eyes were on Kylo Ren, and Snoke was, you know, telling him exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's turning the.
And I think, I think also besides the whole, they were like, well, the Emperor just. Snoke just literally showed us the girl trying to get the lightsaber, and the lightsaber hits her in the head because he controlled it. So he's like, oh, they got this under control.
Yeah, hubris. Yeah. Hubris being overly confident with Luke told us was the problem with the Jedi and why they fell. And it was nice that he mentioned Darth Sidious by name.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see that. So
I do like how that kind of played out as well, though, with, you know, with what Kylo Ren did with the lightsaber to Snoke. It just seems a little bit strange to me that, like, you know, even if Snoke is filled with hubris and everything from, you know, he's thinks he's got everything under control, you know, Rey took the lightsaber away, and like, even like, he's completely aware of what's going on with that lightsaber. You know, he controlled it, had it spin around Rey, bump her in the head, and come back, sit down right next to him, so he doesn't feel the things moving around. And I mean, he was talking about how he connected them
over
vast distances.
Yes, he was very powerful with the Force.
Yet not know there's something inches away from him that's turning.
But if it's not your focus, if it's not what you're focused on, it's easy to be distracted. And I can't. If you're not expecting the fact that your pupil is about to kill you. If the pupil was actually sitting there talking about what he's doing in his head, so that you're getting images of, I'm turning the lightsaber, and he's able to say it out loud, he's turning the lightsaber.
I mean,
just because he's strong in the Force doesn't mean he's all-knowing.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not saying that he's all-knowing either, but, you know, Snoke even said about how conflicted Kylo Ren was, so you'd think he'd be at least a little bit honest.
I think he underestimated him. Yeah, that could be. That's the thing. He's the little lapdog. One of the things that's amazing about this film to me is and able to talk about this. There is so much stuff, so many lines of dialogue that become important later on about something
else. Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. And where he's talking about Hux and keeping the Kurs around because sometimes whatever, he's really talking about Kylo Ren.
And Kylo
knows that and can't handle it anymore and wants him dead for whatever reason. But
yeah.
I think just because you're very, very powerful doesn't mean you know everything that's going on in the room, and he might not be. I mean, he doesn't think Rey's about to take the. She's not in a position to suddenly.
It's more plausible of Rey trying.
And he only had to turn it this far.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like.
If 45 degree turn. Yeah.
It's more plausible for Rey to reach out and get the lightsaber.
Focused on trying to keep Rey, you know.
Oh yeah.
So,
but I mean, that's I guess that's part of the thing too, though, is that the Force does what moves the story forward, if anything else, moves the plot forward. So it's kind of convenient to, you know.
But he was clearly powerful.
I mean,
more powerful than we had seen.
Yeah, the fact that his quick lightning shock before Kylo Ren even got up was just impressive right there.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I think that comes back to the whole, to Kylo Ren's helmet destruction, because I think he kept trying to live in his grandfather's shadow, and when he was crushing it, he's like, I need to let the past die. And that's why, that's why he crushed his helmet. And
I don't know if it's going to come back. He even kind of, you know.
Yeah, he's like, that's the old, because, you know.
Criticized him for having the helmet that he didn't really need to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope the helmet returns.
The old has to die.
Yeah, but I still want it.
Yeah.
The old has to die. But the fight scene, though.
With Rey and
Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I liked that
one. I liked it. I thought it was just the right length.
And that's probably the best lightsaber fight in the movie.
That, we've watched lightsaber fights over and over and over again to the point where it's hard to do anything new with a lightsaber fight.
Yeah.
They did new things in there with the different weapons.
Yeah.
They did some really great deaths.
Yeah.
That last
Rey dropping the lightsaber, catching it, and cutting off the legs. That's pretty awesome.
Which was in Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Wow, Disney.
And the throwing of the lightsaber and turning it on through the head was sweet. And then, you know, at that point, you're in your, I don't know about anyone else, and because at this point it was like, I don't know where they're going.
Yeah,
I'm like, is Kylo being redeemed? You know, is this the redemption? Is the story changing? Is what's going on from here? And no, and the acting, Kylo Ren is becoming one of my favorite Star Wars characters. Period.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I would agree with you there too.
He, I wasn't convinced after The Force Awakens, but I think Adam Driver's performance here was awesome.
Yeah, he did a way better job.
And how the, where he gives her that your parents were nothing, you're nothing, like you're not part of the story, really, you're nothing, but you are to me, you know, you're something to me, and the, you know, rather than the, you know, take my place by my side, you know, that you've gotten time and time again, it's a, you know, join me, please. He says the word please. Like, he's asking, he's not. It was very, it's just very interesting take. Again, the opposite of what you expect in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really dug that. I dug that scene. Where does that leave us? What do we got? Oh, the lightsaber's broken.
The lightsaber's broken, yes, that's true. The escape, and the Benicio del Toro's character kind of.
So we're basically on.
Riding out the resistance.
Yeah, we're basically on the planet now.
Yeah, we're on the planet, the salt.
I do want to say one thing real quick because someone just brought this up to me via text message because this is consuming my life in all manners. with Luke's lightsaber being torn in two.
Not totally symbolic.
Totally symbolic.
Yeah.
And Rey being an expert with a staff. Does she make a full-length Darth Maul-style lightsaber staff?
That's blue.
One side blue, one side green, with both of Luke's lightsabers.
That would be pretty sweet. That would be a cool homage if they did do that. That would be cool. That would be something we haven't seen.
Yeah.
For sure.
Since Darth Maul.
Yeah. Well, two different colors.
Regardless.
Yeah.
So now we're back on the parts of the plot I don't care about as much.
Yeah.
The
salt planet with them. I mean, it was kind of cool. Visually cool.
We had the rebels rebelled.
Yes.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
Which I kind of had a problem with.
That. Yeah. See that's.
Some people seem to have a problem with why wouldn't she just tell him the plan?
Yeah. Tell him.
But my point is that you're acting general, and you're now demoted because you can't handle things.
He was demoted, so...
Would an army general tell a captain the plan until it was necessary to tell them? So that's the way I kind of... That's my mental gymnastics that I'm going to accept.
And that's kind of the thing, too. I understand why it happened and everything... You know,
how about bringing back the stuns? We haven't seen a stun since Princess Leia got stunned in episode 4. Yeah,
the rings. We saw the rings.
The rings came back.
Yeah. But I understand why it happened and the plot reasons and stuff like that, but...
He's basically the only other person of significance as far as just... Not even the movie-wise, like as far as the fighters-wise. Like, he's your guy that you literally sent out in front to lead your squadron.
So Black Squadron, but, you know, Blue Squadron has their own leader, and Red Squadron has their own leader, and Gold Squadron has their own leader.
Where are they at? They're all dead.
Talia was the Blue Squadron.
Yeah. You could have told somebody. You could have told that squadron.
But maybe we would if it was time for him to get in an X-Wing and go blow stuff up.
They may not have known that, you know, how the...
And then
we're even falling.
Okay, so then, you know,
I understood.
So you don't tell him to begin with, and then he does the okay, we're taking over. Do you tell him then? Because at that point, if I'm Poe Dameron, I think she's just lying.
Yeah.
Right, I understand that part, but the thing is, it's like I understand she didn't tell like anybody because you know they didn't know how they were tracking him and stuff. But it's kind of like. Out of everybody, Bo is the logical one to tell.
Or why not even do this? Why wouldn't Poe Dameron tell them, hey, Finn and such snuck off. They're gone already. It's not like you're going to go chase them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them his plan and why they shouldn't go in the escape pods.
Oh, well, because that one is because Bo didn't trust her in the first place. Bo was like, who are you? And you never really... He's only answered to Leia. And basically, this person, he thought he was going to be in charge when everything...
Yeah, but my point is that's hubris. That is overconfidence in a situation. The same thing that we talked about with Snoke and the Jedi. He's not... It's a military. He's not next in line, and he is a pilot. I mean, yes, he leads other people, but he is a pilot. You know, you don't share... You don't get the full plan. You're told, go blow this up. That's the way it works in the military, so...
Yeah. And the fact that he did disobey Leia's direct order about coming back...
And they lost all the bombers except for one. I mean, that was...
That's a pretty huge loss.
Really. Yeah, I mean, I was watching that going, my gosh, man, failure is the best teacher.
Yeah.
He failed twice. Finn fails to have an exciting story on a casino planet. And then he fails and things blow up. Captain Phasma, another complaint I had.
Yeah.
Why bring her back if you're just going to let her, I assume, die in a fiery death, though she might still be alive.
Yeah, she kind of went the route of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't complain because Boba Fett did the same thing.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. That was kind of my disappointment, though, too, that Captain Phasma was such a cool character, and then...
Don't do anything.
Not already?
Yeah.
Really, you know?
Yeah, I was looking forward to that fight, but...
Yeah.
The short-lived fight.
It was. But, hey, Finn won.
I don't think she's dead.
She's probably not.
Yeah. I mean, she's wearing all that armor.
Yeah. So maybe we just finally...
Maybe she'll come back with one eye.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You remember me? Rah!
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody gets back together, goes to Crait.
Yeah. And
the Red Velvet planet.
Yes.
Red Velvet planet. Yeah.
That did look really cool, though.
It did. That was great visuals.
Yeah.
I just want to say, someone pointed out there's a scene where the guy like tastes it, goes salt.
Yeah.
The guy standing next to him is Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One.
I heard that he was in it. I didn't realize it was him, though. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
But, so here we have Finn ready to make a sacrifice.
Yes, yeah.
Which then, we talked about.
Yeah, and then...
And then Rose.
Rose comes in. And then she says, after her actions, you know, stopping.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Probably says what I think is probably one of the more poignant...
Yeah.
Things in the movie where, you know, we're not going to win by... fighting them and killing them, we're gonna win by saving what we love.
Right.
I'm probably not saying exactly what she said, but
right.
You know, that's
main idea. Sure. And then she kisses him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to kiss back at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Awkward.
Yeah. Awkward.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say good. Because I'm sorry. My man went to a Death Star to rescue the woman that he cared about. And you're gonna just like push him off on the cute friend? That's where I was like, oh, seriously, y'all just don't want him to keep a red at all. Y'all just gonna keep that away, y'all.
So you are what we would affectionately call a Finn and Rey shipper.
I am.
You want them to be in a relationship?
I do, but I doubt it because if she becomes full of Jedi and they keep following what the Jedi do, which I hope they don't, that they don't have relationships or get married or something like that, then he's not going to be with her anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of seem like maybe they're kind of disbanding a lot of the old...
That's what I'm saying.
So
I'm hoping that happens. Or they might just flip everything on his head and Bo Derek and Flynn get together. And so it's like...
Bo Derek?
Bo Derek.
You mean Poe Dameron?
Poe Dameron. Bo Derek.
I mean, I'm not going to say I would not like to see Rey and Bo Derek get together. But
Finn and Bo and Poe.
I was wondering if they were... Because, I mean, there was all the... the rumors, I guess, during Force Awakens about them having a real, you know, buddy-buddy chemistry type thing going on.
Yeah, I think people were just reaching.
Yeah, they just...
Yeah, I think they were reaching too, but...
Yeah, especially, did you see the way Poe looked at Rey?
Yeah.
Oh, I know who you are. You know,
Yeah, so then it makes me kind of wonder, are they going to do the triangle thing between Poe and Finn?
They need to do a thing of where Kylo to Rey... She likes Poe. Poe likes Finn. Rose likes Finn. Finn likes Rey.
There you go.
A pentacle.
But yeah, I was like, oh, so y'all just gonna push him off on the cute friend, not on the okay. All right.
Well, he didn't kiss back.
I think he still has.
He's still. Or either that, or he's just shocked he didn't.
I was picturing more shock, but yeah, I was like, come on, yo, guys. Like, the dude literally joined the resistance for her. He destroyed a Death Star for her, and you guys are going to just tell me that y'all just friends?
But Rose just saved his life.
Yeah, she busted a ship and almost killed herself trying to save him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bigger sacrifice.
Yeah. No, that's not a bigger sacrifice. Yeah. That's the exact same sacrifice.
Oh, so you're saying it's equal?
I can say it's equal.
Yeah. Okay. So don't take Rey, don't take Finn away from Rose.
Well, no, you don't take Finn. Don't take.
So Finn got a kiss from a rose.
Wow. Wow.
Kiss from a rose.
On crate.
On crate. There you go.
But yeah, I was like, you know, I like Rose, but I'm like, no, you need to go find somebody else. That's how I feel.
But see, now that Rose is in bloom.
Wow, you're going to fool tilt
with this one. I can't remember the
lyrics. The light hits the room.
Yeah, something.
On the prey.
So we'll have to end this podcast with that song.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I feel about that.
I'm just,
I don't care what they do, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not
just glad they didn't kill Finn off at that point.
I mean,
I really thought
it was going to be a Walking Dead. I was going to be in protest.
Yeah,
like seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I cared. I that was when I realized I cared about Finn a lot, because I was like, oh, I don't want him to die this way.
Like, honestly, he's
the bravest thing to do, and it's the best thing for his character to be willing to make that sacrifice, because he's always been kind of running from to take the Empire head on.
Yeah,
that way is brave and great character development. But hey.
Go ahead, try to kill the brother. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, the whole movie, though, speaking of sacrifices, though, everybody, so many people sacrificed themselves in the movie. Like, Rose's sister sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
Laura Dern's character sacrificed herself to let the Resistance escape the planet. And Finn tried to sacrifice himself.
Mm-hmm. Right, too. The tree sacrificed itself.
Yeah, the tree sacrificed himself.
And then the alien milk thing tried to sacrifice itself.
Yeah. Yes.
And then
of course Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. Yes. Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
About that scene. Yeah.
Okay. So did anyone else see it coming that he was a force projection?
No,
I did not. Until it was until the blade went through him.
Yeah.
And even then, for a second when the blade went through him, I was like, oh crap, is this going to be one of the things where he turns around and it's like an old...
Darth Maul on.
To be quite honest with you, I knew something was up, because I was like hoping that when all the ships were firing...
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to be like standing there with a force shield.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too.
Yeah.
And but so when he just came out.
Wait, first off, Kylo Ren, first off, I want every single gun. I was like,
that man down there. Yeah.
That is what they need to do in a movie. Why did you not see this in movies ever?
Every single gun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then when it comes up and he's just standing there. And does the little shoulder thing.
Yeah, brushes off the shoulder.
I was like, that is the coolest thing.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
And at this point, I still don't realize I didn't... They telegraphed it. He's using the broken lightsaber, his blue broken lightsaber, because that's the last lightsaber Kylo saw. He's doing it to taunt Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't leave footprints, and they make a point of showing it that Kylo's leaving the red.
He's not. Yeah.
And he's looks younger than he's looked the entire movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the way Kylo would have remembered him. They telegraphed it, and then I didn't see it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful filmmaking. When you can...
Yeah, yeah.
When you can throw it in someone's face, and they still don't get it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, they're like, why didn't I get it?
Yeah.
And I, like I said earlier, like, that was, like, the full circle, because up to that point, you know, Luke was still kind of being whiny, but then after his talk with Yoda, and so when he came... And spoke with Leia, he's like, I'm sorry I couldn't save him. And basically, it's like, if you look back on Jedi, where he was still trying to kind of like save Vader,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's still trying that hope. Like now, when he's facing Kylo Ren, he's just like, I gotta take you down. I was like, I tried everything in my
power. Yeah, because Kylo Ren even tells him, he's like, hey, are you here to try to convert me and try to save me? And he's like, no.
Nope. I'm here to fight, and I think that showed, you know, Luke was like, there's some people that you're not going to be able to save. To me, that's why how I looked at it.
Yeah.
Some people choose their destiny.
I think we probably all kind of expected that there was a pretty good chance that Luke was going
to. I just assumed he was dead. I warned my children.
Yeah.
But there is a strong chance that many people might die in this, and one of them could be Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. And I wish that he kind of would have gone off that planet. I like kind of like the twist that he did.
There is the part of me, again, what I wanted was Luke to be on that planet and just
going just, to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want, and that's the thing too, where I wanted to kind of see.
I wanted to
pull on Jedi Master.
As he said, you know, "What am I going to do? Stand down the entire First Order with my laser sword?"
Yes, that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah,
but
he did in a way.
He did it
from a certain point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's really more impressive? Being able to force project yourself across the galaxy from the most remote part of the galaxy to someplace else and fool people with it. And yes, the exertion killed him. I when talking about Yoda and the speech he gave him, and he's always looking to the horizon still or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That poetically, there was not a better way. Because if Kylo Ren kills Luke... I don't want to see Kylo Ren redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Kylo Ren killed by Rey at that point.
Yeah.
Right now, he's conflicted. He's complex. He's the most complex villain by far. I want to see what they do. They could go either way, and I might be happy with it. Right now, with the way they did it, if he stabs Luke and Luke dies, it's done for me. There's no coming back from that. I can barely forgive him for Han Solo, and if I didn't know that Harrison Ford never wanted to make another Star Wars movie, I would probably hold it.
See, I think I look at it a little bit differently. I because you guys still have hope of him redeeming himself.
I don't think they will, but I want them to be able to play with the idea.
Okay.
I don't think they will either at this point.
I want them to, though.
Because I think...
I guess.
Because even Luke said, he's like, you know, if you strike me down in anger, I'm never going to go away.
That's what I really want to see. I want to see Luke annoying the crap out of Kylo Ren for eternity.
For eternity. I'm never going to go away.
I thought maybe for a second there...
I want him to be able to say, oh... We need to go to. We believe that there's a they're reusing the rebel base on Tatooine, and I want him to go. You really think they're there? Like just every decision he makes,
just have him question it.
Yeah,
because Luke said something.
Even when he's cooking, you think she puts more pepper in that?
Basically, kind of alluded to how your father's there with you always now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe for a moment we were going to see like some sort of ghost Han, maybe. Mm. But you know, but like you said, Harrison Ford doesn't have any interest in being in these movies. So
plus, they've made it pretty clear that not even old Jedi could do this. I'm still upset Anakin was able to.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. If in the prequels they make it so that it's something that Qui-Gon learned and taught to Yoda through, and that he had to go give it to Obi-Wan so he could learn to do it. But the last scene of Luke staring out at twin sons again.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how we were introduced to him in
exactly. With the flourish of the same music as he disappeared. Poetically, I couldn't have asked for a better ending for Luke Skywalker, even though I didn't want him to end.
Yeah, me neither.
I would have been the way the whole thing kind of ended. You know, with the way that he died and everything. I don't really have a problem with it. But I think almost it might have been better if, like, maybe he didn't die. Just because now the next film, you know, we know Carrie Fisher's not going to be in
it. Yeah.
And I
understand what you're saying, because without Carrie Fisher, we don't have the true ties to the past that we used to.
Yes, yeah.
So,
with thinking in that, where do you think the next movie's going to take us? Do you think
I told someone else this. I think there's going to be years past, and I think it opens on Leia's funeral.
Yeah.
That's the only way I think you can pay tribute to Leia the proper way.
That's where I think, too. And I think maybe there'll be a thing where, because even how the film ends with that one little boy reaching for that broom coming to his hand.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you think, well, maybe Rey's going to have a bunch of younglings.
I liked that was not the ending that I ever would have wanted. If you told me it, I would not have known I wanted that.
Yeah.
But him with the little resistance ring looking out to the stars holding the broom or mop or whatever it was, like it was a lightsaber.
Yeah.
As if there's a new saga. Luke, yeah.
Luke Skywalker and everything, yeah.
And that's what I you understand. Luke's made the sacrifice, and it's sparked a new rebellion.
Yeah.
Because now the First Order is in control, and the Resistance, though small originally, has survived. More people will join their sides, and you'll get a full fledged Star Wars again, or Star War. And that's why I love this movie. I feel. That though I didn't agree with every decision made, they all made sense with the exception of the casino planet and the parking violation.
Now, did you guys catch what Luke said to Kylo Ren before he disappeared?
See you later, kid.
See you later, kid.
I thought that. And that makes you think that. Okay, well, I mean, because we all know that Mark Hamill will probably be in any Star Wars movie.
He's going to be in 9 for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know he's going to be a Force Ghost in 9.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be, right? So.
But the
one thing that we kind of learned is that even the Force Ghosts appear to be able to affect the world around them as well.
Apparently they put that in the book.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah,
because we saw Yoda bring down the light.
Yeah, that Yoda had learned how to affect. And then Luke wouldn't have known that because he was cut off with Force for so long. He hasn't talked to Yoda in years. He hasn't talked to Ben in years.
I think that was also like a tribute to, because that's what Han said to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
See you around, kid.
Yeah, that's true too, yeah.
So it was kind of a mockery, like, hey, this is what, and I'm pretty sure he said that to his son. Around kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he went off with Chewbacca on one of them to go get cigarettes and never came back.
Right.
Oh man.
I did like the gold dice too. I thought that was
a little
yeah. thing. You know.
Can I be honest with you? I really didn't care.
You didn't really care?
I didn't
realize the importance of the dice until reading more about
them. Oh, I did. They were in the.
Yeah, but like what they're from though,
I don't know what backstory they gave it, but I mean it was hanging there from
Hope. I knew that, but I didn't. I guess they're the dice from the game that Han won the Millennium Falcon from.
Oh, Lando.
Yeah, which I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
So do you think the Han Solo movie ends with Han winning the Millennium Falcon off of Lando?
I'm thinking, and they're probably getting the dice hanging in the movie. So, and I think
someone brought up this in Rogue One when she was stealing the plans.
Yes, about the hyperdrive.
Yeah,
yes,
she mentioned that they were working on hyperdrive tracking technology.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely some plan here where they're tying them all together, for sure.
And then they, I think, officially announced that 2019 they'll begin production on Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Oh, really?
See, they have not announced that Ewan McGregor will be in it.
Really?
That's weird. So I'm assuming he will.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, at that time, it seems like that he would be the appropriate age even for an Obi-Wan movie. And I mean, I liked him as Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I liked him as
Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Probably one of the better things from the prequels was him.
Yeah.
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 Killing younglings.
Yes.
So you love the movie. You like the movie. So I like the movie.
Yeah.
I've heard that it gets better from repeated viewings.
I've heard that too.
When you're going in without expectations of what it was going to be and seeing all those expectations go away, that when you can just try to enjoy it for what it is and see all the things that they do to set up what happens.
Yeah. See, and this is the one thing.
But I'm never going to like that casino plot.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever like the casino plot either. Just because it seems a little, I don't know, it just seems cheesy.
It reminded you of the prequels.
It did. It totally did. Yeah.
And I've been calling this movie the anti-prequel.
The anti-prequel?
Because the prequel, like episode one and episode two were bad movies with a couple good things thrown in enough to make you forgive them. Yeah. Whereas I feel that this is an overall good movie with a couple bad things in it.
Yeah. I think if I saw this movie without knowing the Star Wars stuff, like without knowing the original trilogy and just having all those feelings tied into the movie, I think I would absolutely love the movie.
If 7 and 8 were the only two movies you'd seen, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Because you almost have to see those movies just to understand what's going on to some degree. But, I mean, the emotions tied to those movies is kind of, I think that's the thing that kind of affects my opinion of the movie to some degree because of the things that happen and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that was the whole point of this movie. You have to burn it down to start again.
Yeah, but like, and I don't have a problem with like...
You have to kill the legends.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. It just, for some of the stuff that happens, the way they do it, I just think there's better ways that... Like,
you would milk that animal differently.
Yes. You know, maybe sit on your hand first, you know, to
warm it up.
Wow.
That's my job, because I'm Chris.
Yeah.
I warm it up, Chris.
You warm it up, Chris?
You about to?
Yes. That's what I was born to do.
I see.
But I mean, but like, as far as like... like, I thought The Force Awakens had more emotion tied to it. Like, it worked more in that regard, where it kind of pulled on those nostalgia feelings and all that, kind of stuff. More successfully than this movie did.
I think that was the goal of the first movie.
Oh, and I think
was
so
to pull on your nostalgia because they were trying to make up for the prequels.
Yes,
they were trying to get you re-involved because you can just throw Star Wars on.
Oh, you can't. Yeah, and anybody's gonna, you know, not anybody, but
cock ring, and someone will buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, you.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm your father.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
The Force is strong with this one.
Yes. But, so they were trying to, you know, make something that pleased the old fans, and they did that by calling back to the first one.
Yeah.
If you look, they do callbacks to Empire a lot in this, but they do it in weird order.
You know,
Krayt being like Hoth. It starts with, you know, the movie starts with an escape. They go to a fancy place with rich people, like Cloud City. You know, there's lots of things that call back to it, but it's very different plot-wise.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was... I think it was designed to do the opposite of get rid of your nostalgia. It's the new now.
Yeah.
So...
But I think with The Force Awakens, it did a good job of mixing the old with the new.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was saying, like the Finn character, I love the way he was fleshed out so much more in The Force Awakens. Like the way he's introduced, you know, he's on that First Order ship. You find out he's a stormtrooper. You find out that he has issues with being a stormtrooper, and he, you know, basically tries to escape, and you know, that's just a really interesting background. Mm-hmm. I think, you know. And then,
well, that, I think that's another problem with this movie is they ended it on a cliffhanger that involves you being still close in time to where you're at.
Yeah.
So they don't. I mean, he's been in a coma since the end of The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
he literally
yeah.
wakes up at the beginning. There's no. There's been nothing for him to do to grow.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, we're to assume too that really not much time has passed.
Well, can't be. I mean, yeah, I mean, Luke didn't spend 4 days holding the lightsaber before he threw it over his shoulder.
Just staring at Rey. Why are you here?
So, I mean, you're talking that at best this is days, the time it took for Rey to get to there.
Travel to Luke, yeah.
Is where you see the beginning of that. So, I don't know. Looking forward to looking forward to episode 9. And
I just want.
I have no idea where they're going to go.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see. I want things you. I want to see in the next one. I want to see Kylo Ren being awesome. I want to see the Knights of Ren, as his like personal bodyguards or whatever now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what I want to see.
Yeah, and that one. That's my thing too. Is like. I'm not really sure either. I don't know where it's going to go. I have no idea. You know, we all had some, you know, the fan theories out the wazoo for.
And look what happened to it. It made 50% of everybody hate the movie because they were
right. So I don't know. And it's, you know, like I said, the movie itself I think is a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, there's a few. Things that I've kind of
I never told for me. I never told you what the third favorite scene was, even though we talked about it. It was literally just Luke looking at the setting suns. That was my third.
Okay.
There nothing was going on in there. That's why I said for sentimental reasons.
Yeah. I wanted more Leia in the movie too. Just because we all kind of knew that's the last time we're going to see her on screen.
But. It's funny. Well, not funny. It's poignant that. So much of what she talked about in the movie had to do with loss.
Yes, yeah.
And they're like, well, you're the one we lost. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, too, like, how much... Because from what I understand, she was supposed to have a really big role in the third film.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do now. Like, based off of what her role was supposed to be... Must be a lot of rewriting going on.
Possibly.
Well, not anymore. JJ turned on the screenplay.
Oh, did he?
To Disney. So
it's all done, man.
So they just have to.
As long as they probably have to approve it.
I'm sure they. Yeah, I'm sure Kathleen Kennedy has to.
Yeah, go through
it. Go through it and approve everything.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Someone said, with J.J. Abrams playing it so safe and Rian Johnson doing the exact opposite of playing it safe, with J.J. being back at the helm, the movie will probably open with Rey waking up going, oh my gosh, Luke, that was such a terrible dream. And he's like, yes, let's go kill Snoke. But first, I want to tell you about his backstory.
Oh, man.
My baby girl.
Yeah, my baby girl, there you go.
So at this point, are you guys still trying to analyze on how you feel?
Yeah, because honestly, I don't really have...
I don't know if... I don't...
Probably if one way or the other. I'm like...
So your favorite Star Wars movie is...
I'm going to go in order. I'm going to go Empire.
Yep, I agree.
I'm going to go Force Awakens.
Interesting choice. I do not agree, but I appreciate it.
Then I'm going to go... Oh, you're going to have an issue with this one now. Then I'm going to go Jedi. Then I'm going to go Last Jedi. That's my top.
That's interesting.
My favorite is A New Hope. Just because it's a self-contained story that works. You don't really need to see any other movies, really. And it's the one that introduced the whole series. And then it's probably Empire, and it's probably Return of the Jedi. And then probably Force Awakens. And I'm just not sure where that one sits with the other ones. Because I don't know how it fits in.
I'm Empire. So none of us agree on anything. Then A New Hope.
Okay.
So, and after that's where it's going to get sketchy. Because it's not Return of the Jedi, because so much of Return of the Jedi is stuff I don't like. I don't know if at that point I go The Force Awakens or if I go The Last Jedi. One of those two, probably. And then the other one. And then Return of the Jedi. And then prequels 3, 2, 1. And I'm not including Rogue One in this because I like Rogue One a lot, but it's kind of its own unique thing.
But, okay. See, yeah, I got Jedi higher, and I know people are like, why? It's just because, for me, the feeling of Jedi was kind of like just complete, because you got the answers that you were wondering from Empire in Jedi. And if you're like, if the worst scene is the Ewoks, then it's like all the other ones had even worse scenes. I could live with the Ewoks.
I didn't hate the Ewoks because they were Ewoks.
Yeah, and as a kid, honestly, I loved the Ewoks.
Yeah, I had no beef with the Ewoks. I think
when people get older,
they were like, the Ewoks. It's like, no, you know, when you saw this movie, you loved the Ewoks. Yeah. Just like
when I was a kid, I was fine with them. As I got older, I was less fine with them, and that taints the overall movie. Had they kept with the original idea of the Ewoks were Wookiees, which is what he went in planning for, but then he realized, you know, Wookiees can fly the Millennium Falcon, then maybe they're not the primitive race then.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that also comes up to the fact of where now, you know, I think we as a society are a little more cynical now, and I think that's why, you know, people were upset about this recent movie, because they're like, this was what we expected, and it didn't happen like we just talked about. But that whole cynical, instead of just enjoying what's in front of them, instead of trying to find all the deep, dark meanings, even when there isn't any.
Yeah. In the first three movies, you know, the original trilogy, you know, it's one big epic story.
Right.
You know, it was self-contained.
Right.
It didn't need to go anywhere else, even though eventually it did.
Right.
You know, we saw the completion. We saw the journey of the small farm boy. Saw him grow up to become a Jedi Master. End of story.
They lived happily ever after.
Yeah, but they didn't.
What's that? Was from Sandman made a point of talking about it in the one episode. The secret to having a happy ending is knowing where to end it. Because if you follow,
if
you keep going, every story ends with death.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's why, and I don't know. My feelings may change once, or I'm not going to say change, but maybe more solidify one way or the other once the third movie comes
out. Yeah. I rewatched The Force Awakens before watching this, and I a lot of people really liked The Force Awakens upon arrival, and then as they analyzed and thought it was a rehash of New Hope's opinion sent to Droplo, I still think it holds up.
I think it holds up.
Big, fun Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
so.
Right. That's the one thing I guess I would say when I came out of The Force Awakens, I was like, man, I just saw a Star Wars movie.
That is a fun Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I felt and I, that way.
The Last Jedi, I felt like that was not a fun Star Wars movie.
No,
that was
no.
a Star Wars movie for sure.
Yeah.
But it was not a fun Star Wars movie, and that seems to be what they went for. Well, they got it. And
yeah.
Yeah, fun.
I enjoyed it,
but it's not like...
I didn't think it was as dark as Empire. I thought it was like, oh, okay, it was like part Empire, part Jedi. So that's why
maybe you can... I don't know, dealt a lot with, the conflicting feelings of Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
That's some kind of dark stuff. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't end on a downer, the Empire did, for sure. So, I mean, that's... Because it really, even almost at this point, the way the movie ended, that could be the end.
Right.
In a way, because, I mean... Well, First Order appears to be a little bit in shambles. I mean, apparently a new leader in Kylo Ren.
We've got a new leader, but they still have a giant army at his disposal.
Yeah.
They took out one dreadnought and a small fleet of ships.
Yeah. But the leadership... But even with the... What's the pale, pasty guy that's in
Hux?
First Order? Yeah, Hux. Yeah.
I like that he almost killed Kylo Ren as he laid there, just
right. But that's what makes me wonder too. Like, there might be a little bit of dissension in the ranks there,
right?
Where they're not going to want to follow Kylo Ren completely. He seems a little bit more, maybe a little bit more irrational than Snoke. I don't know. Maybe.
And I think the maybe possibly the Knights of Ren will come in because he's going to bring them in because there's probably going to be disorder in the First Order, and then the Knights of Ren are going to be like, We'll bring order back, and that's they're gonna have Kylo Ren's back, and I think that's where that's gonna go. But that's a lot of it. That's gonna, yeah. I think you guys' theory on it's gonna happen years later, because that's gonna be a lot of Sith Jedi trained warriors.
Against
Ren.
So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah. What if they cut ahead 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a full-fledged
Jedi
trained, yeah. If not Jedi, and Sith. They're not Sith anymore, are they, technically?
Yeah. Knights of Ren, I guess.
Knights of Ren, I guess.
Yeah, because he even kind of mentioned that he...
I would like to see the Knights of Stimpy.
The Knights of Stimpy! Yeah, good.
Or Rocco.
Why didn't we get Bob Camp to draw that?
I know, we should have. Now, next time we see him, we'll...
I want Kylo Ren.
Yeah, Kylo Ren!
That would be good.
Stimpy being Rey.
Huh?
That'd be
awesome.
That would.
Well, alright.
Alright, well, I guess, do we have any other thoughts, feelings, predictions?
That's our feeling.
I guess that's it. I think overall we enjoyed the movie.
Yes.
So.
Milk does a body good, no matter what color it is.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
We can apply that to life.
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Check us out on our website, allmyissues.com.
On our Facebook at all of my issues. On the Twitter, all of my issues. If you like what you heard, you know, send us a message on Facebook.
Give us some love, and you can support us on our Patreon site as well. All of my issues.
That's right. Show me the money!
Yeah! Alright. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Later.